Okay, we're good. Camera's on. Boy, the technology is amazing, isn't it? That we can be out here in this beautiful day and have folks sitting at home on Zoom just joining with us. And this is an incredible gathering. There's a joy. If you just take a moment just to feel the joy that is here today, there's an incredible amount of joy. Do you know that we were created to worship God? That's why we were made, you know, spiritual beings, you know, not just physical beings, but we were made with a spirit that God gave us that wants to soar. This spirit wants to soar, wants to go higher and higher and higher in worship and adoration of God. So that's what we've been doing this morning. We wanted to just prioritize our time together, and we wanted a lot of honoring to go on today, a lot of honoring. And we thought the very best place to start was to honor God and to worship Him. So that's what we've been doing. Scott and Barb and Jackie have led us. And let's see, unmute myself. Do I do that or no? Good. Okay. It's wanting me to unmute, but I'm not going to unmute. I wanted to welcome Zoom this morning and all you guys. And I wanted to say too about the worship team, something you might not know is that Gord would often talk to the worship team after worship. And he loved to introduce new songs to help the worship team. He would recommend some songs. And there was just a loving relationship that was so cute and so beautiful. And he loved these guys. And so we are really thankful for that. And so it's a joy to gather. There's been a great team of people that have assembled over the last couple of weeks to try to put this together and to make it as honoring as possible. And so we won't go through all the names of those people, but we just recognize that this has been an incredible team effort, and that's so precious. You know, it's a joy to gather here this morning, and I think joy has to be one of the primary things that we begin to just feel in our hearts, because we're now at a year, just past a year, of the anniversary of what, you know, we can call many things, but we like to call it a graduation, you know, a graduation to heaven, that Gord just took that journey just a little over 1 year ago. And we've been waiting for an opportunity to do exactly what we're going to be doing here this morning. And so we're thankful for this opportunity and for these moments and for this breeze and for air conditioning. And we're thankful for all of this morning. I thought about the movie Chariots of Fire this morning when I was thinking about Gord. And, you know, there's a famous line in Chariots of Fire where Eric Little is handed a note. And on that note, it simply says that he who honors me, I will honor. Isn't that beautiful? And those of you that got to walk with Gord, you knew how much he would honor the Lord. His heart was to honor God. And so he was the one, I mean, he really pressed us. You know, we bought an old warehouse, you know, so it's not very churchy looking. You know, people would drive by and say, what's that? You know, well, Gord was really, really stressed the importance of the cross and how we needed the cross to be visible. And so he made this cross. There's another cross inside. And someone helped me out here. Did he make the white cross that's right on? Bob, where are you? Did he do that cross out in front? Bob, do you remember the one? I mean, we got a cross on our sign. He probably did. I mean, I won't take up much more time this morning because I could point you guys. I wanted to point you all around and show you all the things that Gord's hands touched around this place. It's so amazing. So we want to recognize this beautiful family. We want to recognize, first of all, Viola, Gord's beloved wife. And we're just if there's anything that's touched my heart this past year, it's the visible grace of God upon your life. That has meant a lot to all of us, you know, that God has sustained this family and really not only sustained, but poured out his grace upon you. And it's been visible, and we're really glad for that. So I want to just recognize the kids. I won't go through all everyone's name, but I did want to mention just the joy of having Nancy here and recognizing all the children, Nancy and Carrie and Kevin and Mark. And you know, there's so many grandchildren. I can't go through all the names, but there's not only grandchildren, there's great grandchildren. But I did want to mention too, just a shout out to one grandchild that was called Gordon, you know, and I think that's kind of cool and very noteworthy is that one of the grandsons was named after Gord. And then also there was that one of the granddaughters has two of their great grandchildren, and one of them is named Viola. And so in honor of our dear Viola, I hope I got all this right. I think I did. But so just a few announcements, and then we're going to have a few speakers come up, and this is going to be just great. I want you to feel free to run your air conditioning. There's a bit of a breeze. You can catch it. But if you can't catch it, please turn your air conditioning on and feel free to do that. The washrooms are through this door just over to my left here. Just go straight through. And if you keep going straight and keep your eyes right, you're going to find them. So those are the washrooms. There's plenty of cold water, and we're going to have people sort of just standing by with some water. You just have to kind of raise your hand or something, or, you know, they'll be looking out for you as well. But stay hydrated and drink lots of water. And I also wanted to mention that a slide presentation was put together by Kevin, by Gordon's son, and it's a beautiful presentation. And we had hoped to have a big screen out here and to show it to you all, but that didn't work out. So what we've done is we put it up on our website, and that's available, wocc.ca, or we can give you that information later. We're going to give you a bit more information before you leave here today, but we wanted to mention to you that we want you to go to our website and watch that slide presentation. It's got two beautiful songs and pictures of Gord and his family. And so please visit the website today or whenever you're able to. So I want to welcome three people that are going to come right now to speak to us, and actually four, but I'm going to welcome them, and I'm just going to name them, and then I want them to introduce themselves. But what's going to happen in this next part of our gathering is that they're going to represent all of us. I mean, all of us that wanted so much to say something, and all of us could say something, but they represent us, all of us whose hearts just are so loving towards Gord and remembering this man. And those of you that didn't know Gord, you're actually, like, it's going to be an honor to be here, because you're going to hear some stories, and you're going to hear about this man's life. And every single one of us were touched, who knew Gord, we're touched by him, and we carry something in our lives that he deposited. So you'll hear some stories. So I want to welcome, first, we're going to have Stuart Hunter come up, and each one is going to kind of introduce themselves and give us a little bit of their history with Gordon. But I wanted to recognize Stuart Hunter, and then we're going to have Nancy. Actually, Keith McLennan and his daughter Nancy are going to come up, and then Rick Thompson. So this is the first part of our speakers. And so would you guys just come on up? I'm going to have Stuart come up first, and then the rest of you can follow. Thank you.
Good morning. What an honor to be here today to remember the life of Gord Mason, my good friend and friend to most of us that are here. I couldn't help but think that an outdoor service like this to celebrate the life of Gord Mason is so Gord Mason. Like, I don't know what they're doing right now in heaven. I know he's there. But whatever they're doing, if they're doing something interesting and they can see us down here, Viola, Gord would be saying, look at that. Look at the crowd. They're standing. They're sitting everywhere. They're using the back of the building. It's drive-in celebration of my life. Cool. And so fitting for my friend Gord. Bye, and to your family. My wife Gudrun and I extend our condolences, but also our joy to know that Gord, who's not with us, is where we're going to be someday. And so to Carrie and Nancy and Mark and Kevin and all the grandkids and the great grandkids, special greetings. A whole year has gone by, and I still miss my good friend, Gord. I loved Gord's simple, unadorned way of looking at things and life in general. But don't misunderstand when I say simple and unadorned, for there was a part of him that was absolutely brilliant. If you knew him, you can say amen. Toot your horn, flash your lights. He was brilliant. And one of his human hallmarks was his creativity. and his inquisitiveness. He seemed to somehow know that for every mystery, there is a solution. And that works when it comes to machines and when it comes to the stuff of life, but it doesn't always hold true when it comes to theology and to God and his ways. So a lot of times I didn't have answers for Gord. And there were plenty of them in the almost 43 years that I knew him. You see, we moved to Ottawa in the late summer of 1978. And it was a few months after that that I met Gord and Vi. I think it was through the radio broadcast that Bethel had in those days. And so an appointment was made. And the short of the long story is, Gord opened his heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. As a result of that, and them being who they are, a friendship was launched that has endured to June the 3rd, 2020. And I now, like you, am left with memories, great memories. It will be no surprise to some of you who know me at all when I tell you that I am useless at fixing things. So thank God for Gord, for that was one of his fortes. He fixed a toilet for me once using a piece of wire. He fixed a pair of my suspenders I had bought at Value Village, only to find when I got home that one of the clasps was broken. I'm wearing them today. And I know they're going to hold my pants in place. You know that phrase? There's an app for that? Well, for me, it was, there's Gord for that. Our first Ottawa home, brand new, never been lived in until we arrived. Had a problem in the winter with the upstairs bathrooms freezing, literally. No water in the sink, no water in the toilet. Ah, but there's Gord for that. He thinks about it. He ponders it. And then he asks if it's okay if he cuts out a portion of the floor. Sure, Gord, be my guest. He does. And he discovers that when the insulation was installed, it was put in backwards. So he tells me to get many, many bags of vermiculite. Now, vermiculite, my mother used to use to start violets back decades ago. So I did as Gord asked, got him a bunch of vermiculite. I can still see him pouring that down into the holes in the floor. And I'm thinking, man, I hope this works. If this doesn't work, I got a problem with my toilet still, and I got a problem with my floor. But anyway, he pours bags down the hole, and voila, the next freeze-up that we had, the problem was solved. This absolutely brilliant maritimer, who married a gracious and wonderful maritimer, also figured out how to stamp letters and packages more quickly than the process being used by Canada Post. So he got hired by Canada Post and for years was in its employ. As the inventor of this machine, he became the problem solver when there was a breakdown. So yes, even for Canada Post, there was a Gord for that. One more story. The house that Gord and Vi built on Barlow Crescent was absolutely unique. He took old dial telephones and somehow wired them to the lighting system. If he heard a strange sound in the front yard at 2 a.m., All he had to do was dial the number assigned to that set of lights. Amazing. And never did they have a break-in out there. And under the house, he excavated a pond and put fish in it. I think somehow the water helped to cool the house down in the hot summers. And whenever they craved a fish dinner, being Maritimers, Gord would go to the pond under the house and snag what they needed for dinner. I could tell you many other stories, but I want to close with this, for it's far more important what I'm going to say now than his creative genius. It was his love for souls. Gord was a people person. He loved people, and especially lost people, especially people who are trying to make it through this thing we call life, this journey. He loved people. That love for people was astounding. He had a way with ease to talk to anybody, anytime, about what the Lord had done for him, and that the Lord would help and bless them too if they just opened their hearts to him. It was a gift of boldly going where many of us have never gone. He told me story after story in his unabashed, unashamed way of sharing the good news of Jesus and his love. I suppose there were times when he was misunderstood, but that didn't deter Gord, for he knew the difference the Lord had made in his life, and he just wanted to share that with others. Pretty remarkable. And so, no surprise when about 40 years ago, we commenced a small group ministry at Bethel, and Gord and Vi were a part of that. No surprise that Gord and Vi joined up with the Gideons in Canada. And about 7 years ago, when I felt inclined and led to start up a connect group for senior men in West Ottawa, Gord Mason was one of the first men I called. Is it a good idea, Gord? What do you think about it? Would you attend it? And he attended faithfully and contributed so much to our times of prayer and interaction. As I thought about Gord Mason and his legacy left to us all, my mind remembered what Jesus had said about Nathanael. It's found in John's Gospel, chapter 1. You see, Andrew and his brother Simon Peter had heard John's witness about who Jesus was, and they both decided to follow Jesus. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and there he ran across Philip and asked him to follow him. Philip, in turn, went out and found Nathanael and told him, Nathanael, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law. It's Jesus, Joseph the carpenter's son, the one from Nazareth. And Nathanael's comment was, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Nazareth? You've got to be kidding. You see, Nathanael asked questions too, just like Gord. But there's more to the story. For when Jesus saw Nathanael coming, Jesus said, there's a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false, there is no guile, there is no deceit, there's not a false bone in his body. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Gord. What you saw was what you got. Up front, agree or not, but always willing to ask questions, discover, listen, and then share the findings. To my dying day, I will always be grateful for my dear friend and brother, Gord. My maritime friend, my brother in Christ, who challenged my own life spiritually, who fixed for me my bathrooms and my suspenders, but who was never ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for he knew that it was still the power of God unto salvation. As Peterson in the Message declares, Romans chapter 1, verse 16, it's news. I'm most proud to proclaim this extraordinary message of God's powerful plan to rescue everyone who trusts in him, starting with Jews and right on to everyone else. God's way of putting people right shows up in the acts of faith, confirming what Scripture has said all along. The person in right standing before God by trusting him really lives. And right now, in heaven, I can almost hear Gord exclaiming with this comment, "Yes, yes, that's what I've been trying to tell you all along for the last 42 years. Amen."
Bless you, Gord. Bless you. Just when I look around here and I see all the things that we worked on together. Yeah. And, yeah, I was a look around here, Gord, I see all the things that we worked on here. It was, we had some great times together. And I just, thinking there, okay. I'm just thinking of all the instruments I made, and I brought them over to Gord there, and he would tune them up, and I'd say, "Could you make any music out of it?" And some of them he could. So I just thank you for the time that we had together, Gord, and it won't be long before I'll be seeing you. So I just thank you for that. Yes. And I just want to bless you by to and all your family in Jesus' name.
Hi, everybody. I'm this guy's daughter. I'm Nancy. And I guess the first... Get feedback here. The first time I met Gordon Vai, I think, was at Kanata Pentecostal Church. And then we started back at WOCC. And I really got to know them as a couple. And but after that, my daughter was involved in a really traumatic accident. And Gordon Vai came up to the hospital just before one of her surgeries and prayed with her. And that was the first time she met them. And Gord became a buddy of hers. He saw her through all of that. And even as she was recovering and he was helping raise money for her to go to university. Anything that she needed, Gord was always there to try and facilitate. So he's precious to us. He's precious to Julianne. I think there's a common denominator here. What everybody has to say about Gord is he was an evangelist. And he had a heart for people, that no one be left behind. And that was his motto, I think. And I think you'd agree with me when I say that, right, Vi? And he had a heart for young people too, because I know different instances there'd be young people sitting during church services, they'd be in their car, and Gord would out there to speak to them and just to see what was wrong and what he could do to help. And that's what he would do. He'd want to fix things. He could fix things mechanically and physically, but spiritually he wanted to fix it too. And he'd guide them to do that. So I think that's the legacy of Gord Mason and Vi too. And his kids and his grandchildren and his great-grandchildren are so fortunate. I was going to say lucky, but that's not the word, but fortunate to have him as a father and a grandfather and great-grandfather. So I just want to, I think Gord would approve of this. If anybody here doesn't know Jesus, it's not too late yet. One day it will be. But don't delay in making that decision, because you may not, you won't get a second chance. Not everybody dies a slow death and can think about it on their deathbed. Sometimes life is gone like that and you don't have a choice then. So don't be afraid to make that decision. There's nothing you need to do. All you have to do is ask Jesus and he's there. And that's what Gord would want for you to do. There's nothing to get ready. There's nothing to do. Jesus is waiting for you. So don't hesitate, anybody here and anybody in Zoom land. I love you, Gord. And I miss you. We'll see you soon.
Good morning. I'm Rick Thompson. And Sandy and I met Gord and Vi over 30 years ago when we moved from Thunder Bay to here. We connected with them at both Kanata Pentecostal and also with the Gideons. Over the years, we've come to appreciate them so much. Gord had been a Gideon for many years. Gord had been a Gideon for many years when the Kanata chapter was first formed. And he was the first president. And he said, often with fear and trembling, but stepping out in faith was not something foreign to Gord. We all appreciated his leadership, dedication to the ministry. He was also always a steady influence and encouragement and offered godly wisdom in whatever we were doing. He loved the Gideon ministry because it gave him resources and opportunities to share the gospel with others. Often, he and a few others would take a bunch of New Testaments to one of the malls and talk with passersby and invite them to have a New Testament and invite them to faith in Jesus. Very seldom would you find him without a New Testament to give someone that he met. We so much appreciated his leadership in organizing the high schools, hotels, and the fairs. Over the years, I had numerous visits with Gord at the shop or at home to pick up or drop off Gideon material. I always budgeted a little extra time to hear about what his latest project or invention was, or something new he was experimenting with. Most people would have retired, but that didn't seem to be an option for Gord, so I really do wonder what he is tinkering with right now. Pastor Balak also asked me if I would speak a little bit about the Gideons. And in honor to Gord, I would like to tell you about some of the things that God is doing through the Gideon ministry that would really excite Gord. Gord gave leadership to the school distribution. And for the last number of years, it has been sidewalk distribution, where we give New Testaments outside to the kids outside on the sidewalk when they leave for the day. He was enthusiastic about giving scriptures to young people, and also enthusiastic about encouraging young people to give scriptures to their friends. Now, I want to set the stage for what's going on in Nicaragua right now. Canadian Gideons have a strong international ministry, and for trademark and copyright purposes outside Canada, Gideons use the ShareWord Global branding. We're going to see more of that here in Canada, but anyway. With our current model, Canadian Gideons and partners go overseas on outreach trips, the go trips. On these trips, we generally work with the churches, schools, and whatever the churches want to do, usually for evangelism training and outreach. In Nicaragua, such trips open the door for building relationships with churches, schools, prisons, and into the government. God opened some amazing doors in that country. A number of schools received scriptures and our rep reported more than 10 schools, the principals and the teachers have told us that the students are having a significant change in behavior as teachers are using the Spark magazine, a Gideon resource, to teach the Word of God. The government caught wind of what was going on in these schools and asked the Gideons to provide scriptures for every school-age child in Nicaragua. That's a staggering request. Their government realized that without the gospel, there would be no hope for that country in Nicaragua. That's now racked with corruption, violence, poverty, and hopelessness. This is going to be a 10-year project for some 2 million scriptures just for the schools. Only God could open a door like that, and we praise him for it. Gideons also send go teams to Moldova in East Europe. These teams often comprise of teens and young adults, and they minister primarily to children in schools with a special emphasis on orphanages. At one of these orphanages, Jenya received a New Testament, and it gave her an insatiable hunger for a whole Bible. A year later, she was given one. In less than a year, she read it from cover to cover, and then she started to read it again and again and again. Through that, she saw through the scriptures the care and the compassion that God has for the foreigner, orphan, and widow. So often, she cried to God, asking why her parents had to die. But Jenya says, "The verses that are most precious to me are those that tell me that God will not leave the orphan alone. When we are orphans and slaves in distress and trouble, he loves us so much that he cries with us. Giving a Bible to someone is the best thing you can do. God is my father. I don't have a real father, but I have him. God is my parents. He is my mom. He is my dad. He is my everything." Now, Jenya is giving copies of scriptures to children in Moldova. Gordon and I have had a number of conversations at CARP, Richmond, or in the meetings where he would express his desire to see young people sharing the gospel with other youth and children. And this is exactly what Gord would like to see. Closer to home, I would like to tell you about Barry. He's a young Indigenous man who grew up in northern Alberta. He lived in an abusive and substance-abusing home. At 5, he was given a little red Gideon New Testament at Camp Living Waters. It sat on the shelf for a number of years. At 9, the abuse became too much for him, and he gave up on life and attempted suicide. He recovered, started reading his New Testament. Here, he found hope. The circumstances didn't change, but his perspective did. He also found comfort, hope, and purpose at Camp Living Waters. As he grew older, he had a burning desire to share the gospel that saved him with others that needed that hope. Barry joined the Gideons for a time and led a number of go trips, often to remote Canadian communities, usually with a high Indigenous population. Barry reminds us of 1 Corinthians 1:18. The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction, but we who are being saved know that it is the very power of God. The power of God touched Barry's life. It was the power of God that transformed him. It was the power of God that transformed Jenya. It's the power of God that the government of Nicaragua is counting on to transform that whole country. Gordon and Vi have been so very faithful to the Gideons over the years, and that is a reflection of their love for God and their conviction and that we need to be active in the kingdom business and that people need to hear the transforming good news. Vi, on behalf of the Kanata Gideon and Ottawa West Gideons, I would like to express condolences to you and your family, and thank you very much, folks.
Boy, this has been so beautiful and so inspirational, and it's brought a lot of stories to mind, hasn't it? I mean, every single one of us could tell stories. They're just the They're incredible. They're incredible. Check out our sign on both sides before you leave today. And there's some interesting messages on both sides of our sign. It's hard not to tell a story, but I had the privilege of being at some of the Gideon functions. So I was in Richmond with Gordon Vai and Valerie, and we went out afterwards to a restaurant just across the street in the town of Richmond. And characteristic of Gord, you know, and what he taught me is to never leave your Gospel of John's or your New Testaments at home, you know, but kind of have them close at hand. And so our waitress was offered one at the end of our meal. And she said, my grandma's praying for me and she'll be so glad that you gave me this, you know, and that just touched me, you know, like what if he had not done that? What if he had just been shy, you know? And so he's given us all permission and an encouragement to be bold and to just step out, because especially in this day, the response level is increasing. It's increasing. Okay, we're going to do two special things right now. We got two special ingredients. Barb Nairway is coming up and she wants to, we're just going to present you with, and she's going to tell you what it, you tell this family what it is. Are you coming up? Oh, yes. Okay, so she's bringing, you can kind of see, if you're far back, you might not see this beautiful rose plant that has a name that means Northern Lights. And isn't it gorgeous? And, you know, Gordon Vai have brought over the years an incredible fragrance to this assembly, to our community. And those of us in this community, West Ottawa, really honor what this couple has brought to us and the fragrance of Christ that they have given to this community. So we are extremely grateful for that. We're going to do something very unusual now. And it's unusual, but it's one of the ingredients of honor that we felt we should do today for Gord and for Vi. And this, it's simply this, that we're going to take up an offering. Now, stay with me for a moment here, because recently somebody came up to me and said, what, you know, I don't, you guys never take up offerings. Like, how do you pay for this place? Eh? And now stay with me, because it's nothing about this place. You know, this is something different. And so I said to him, I said, we have these boxes at the back of the church that nobody even knows are there, you know, until they ask about them. And people have been faithful over the years and they put in the box, but we rarely take up an offering. So I'm not making any apologies this morning for this offering, because we're going to take up an offering. And you may not have got the email and are prepared to give in this offering, but I'm going to give you an option to give after you leave this place. We have a young couple that were very dear to Gord, very dear to Gord and Vi. Their names are Hannah and Leo. Hannah grew up in this church, and then she married a man from Samoa. And Gord and Vi served at their wedding. They were one of the first ones that came back to the reception hall that was in the church here to prepare for the caterers that were coming. So they were serving this couple that day. And this couple have now, in the last number of years, made their residence in Hong Kong. Now, if you watch the news, you know that Hong Kong is now under the governance of mainland China. And we know from history that missionaries are not welcome in communist countries. And so we learned just recently that Leo and Hannah have an opportunity to extend their stay if their visa is extended. And so in our hearts, we thought, Lord, we want to make it as possible. We want to help them, that we support them as a church, as missionaries, but we want to kind of boost up their finances a little bit. So what they can do is when they have to send a report in for the extension of their visa, they will be able to indicate that they have some reserve funds available to them as well. And what we want to do is, as long as the doors of China and Hong Kong are open, we want to sow into this work and in this young missionaries, into this young missionary couple. So this is to me a joy to make an offering announcement like this, because Gord was a very generous man and he loved Leo. I mean, Leo and at the wedding reception, I mean, all the guys, all these Samoan guys had their shirts off and they were doing these dances, you know, but it was powerful. These are godly men and manly men, you know, who are taking the gospel to the streets of the world and particularly Hong Kong right now. Leo's heart and passion is to bring the gospel to this nation. And so we're going to take up an offering. When you leave this morning, there'll be buckets. Some of the gentlemen, the young men will have them available. If you just want to open your window and throw something in. Or if you want to go to our website, wocc.ca, you can get the link for making an e-transfer, or you can send us an email and just tell us your intentions to give. We take IOUs, you know, because we want to be generous. My wife and I want to sow into this. We want you to sow into this. We want to bless the socks off this young couple and make it possible for them to stay in Hong Kong for as long as possible. As long as the doors of freedom are open for the gospel, we want to sow into that. Is that okay? That's a pretty strong offering message, isn't it? I haven't had to do an offering message for years. So sow into this. You will love what you're sowing into. This couple love the Lord Jesus with all their hearts, and they feed the homeless. They're out preaching the gospel on the streets. They just have a heart for Jesus. And didn't Gord have a heart for Jesus? We love it. Okay, that's it for the offering announcement. So we have buckets available. You won't be able to leave here without kind of passing by the guys, or go to our website, wocc.ca, and we'll give instructions on our website. And I want to have Ken Hall come, and he's gonna share with us.
Hello, can we talk? Is it over for a while? Hello,
Gord was an entrepreneur, both for himself in life, but also for the kingdom of God. And when Stuart Hunter mentioned Star Trek, I had been thinking Gord would have signed up in a minute if he could go on Star Trek for new adventures. And then when Stuart was talking about Gord fixing things, well, that was my experience too. I'd get in the middle of a jam and I'd call Gord, and Gord would come and rescue me. Gord and I didn't share enough time together, but I admired him and I love him. One time we went hunting together. I think hunting is part of being an entrepreneur, because you never know whether there's anything going to be there or not, but you go and look for it. So Gord was our hunt captain. And the first day he assigned me a post on the edge of a field in November, in the wind, in the cold. And before long, I was freezing. And all day long, I saw nothing. I just froze. The next day, he put me on the west side of a field. And it was so bright and sunny, I sat down and fell asleep. But before I fell asleep, I heard a shot. I got up because Gord was to my right, and I made my way over to where I heard the sound. And there was a big doe lying in the field. And before I could do anything, Gord was already dressing it. I was afraid, because he had recently recovered from a heart attack, that he was going to try to drag it out by himself. But I got the job, and I got some of the venison. Another adventure that I had with Gord was going to Bayshore. And this time, we weren't looking for deer, we were looking for sheep. And I know you don't see many sheep in Bayshore, but Jesus has sheep in Bayshore. And he had given me a bunch of little cards, little QR cards. And on it, a young person could scan in the QR code. And I suppose some of the older ones don't even know what a QR code is. It means quick response, I think. And we would go through the mall and we would look for young people on their phones. And when I saw a young person on his phone, I was tutored to go and ask them if they had a Bible on their phone. And I would say, do you know that the two most downloaded books in the world today are 50 Shades of Grey? And if you know what 50 Shades of Grey is, and I suppose that if you're a Christian, you wouldn't want to admit to knowing it, but it's 50 Shades of Grey and the New Testament. Do you have a Bible on your phone? And sometimes the young person would respond and say, no, I don't. That sounds like a good idea. And other times, I would feel from the response like I was back standing on the edge of the field in the cold November wind. But there were some that would accept it. But this has been true ever since the time of Jesus. There were some people in Jesus' day who said, "Your words are amazing. I agree." And others who said, "You're an imposter. You're a fraud. You're not really the Messiah. And your teachings don't make sense." And some people are still saying that today. There's always a choice. Yes, thank you, or no, thank you. The Bible is a huge book. Even Peter, the apostle, said some of the things in the Bible are hard to understand. But when I was just young, I was maybe 10 years old, I remember going to a meeting and kneeling down and praying and asking Jesus to come into my heart. That was just the beginning of a long walk. That was 70 years ago. What I discovered is that there's a similarity between saying yes to Jesus and downloading an app. You know, you get to the app, you want to download the app, you want to use this thing. And before it lets you download or use it, it says, "I agree to the terms and conditions thereof." And so then you go looking at the terms and conditions because you don't want to be foolish. But after about 6 or 8 or 10 pages of conditions, you finally decide, "I will just press the agree button." And so you press the agree button, and then you get to use the app. But you haven't finished reading all of the terms and conditions, but you get to use the app. You know that just last week, I was reading scripture, and I saw something I've never seen before. And I pressed the button, "I agree." And as I agree, I continue my discipleship. Following Jesus isn't reading all the Bible or agreeing with it all. It's pressing the button and saying, "I agree with what I know. I agree." And after that, there are many challenges in which one must continue to agree with Jesus. Because walking in agreement with Jesus is the essence of the Christian life. Scripture says, "Those who know your name will put your trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who trust in you." At one point, Gord and Vi decided to press the agree button, and they came to agree that Lord Jesus was their Lord. Then they experienced an encounter with the Holy Spirit, and they pressed a button and said, "I agree." And they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, a powerful experience of growth and intimacy with the Lord. Then they saw the connection between Israel and the resurrection of Jesus in the same way that Jesus was raised from the dead. Israel has been raised from the dead, from the ashes of the Holocaust. It has been established as a nation. And when they saw that, they pressed, "We agree." And they became witnesses to a sign that God has established in the earth. I once asked a Jewish man in a grocery store why he wore the little hat. They have a name for it, but why he wore the little hat. And he said, "It's a sign that God is in the world. It's a sign that God is in the world. The kingdom of God is here, and the kingdom of God is growing." Sometimes we get on a Zoom call, and there are people from every nation in the world, and there are up to 15 translation groups in that Zoom app. It's amazing to see the kingdom of God growing. If you want to be part of that, you need to press the button with what you know and say, "I agree. I agree. I agree." And as you do that, you experience the
beginning of a relationship.
You know, when the disciples were called by Jesus, he just said to them, "Come and follow me."
There weren't 16 conditions and clauses after that. He just said, "Follow me." And Matthew left his post in the tax office and began to follow Jesus and spent the rest of his life discovering what saying yes to Jesus meant. You know, there are many analogies that Scripture has for the kingdom of God. One of them that Jesus used was a field. These days, when you go by a field and you don't see any weeds in it, you know what you know? You know that it's got a ton of pesticides in it and a ton of herbicides. But if you have a real field or a carefully tended one, like we have here, you discover that the weeds and the wheat grow together. In the field behind our house, I noticed that the weeds come to head first. They're already past bloom and they have seeds on them. And yet the wheat is barely out of the ground. You know, that's an analogy both for the kingdom of God, but it's also an analogy for every believer. Because I know that in Gord's life, there were weeds growing with the wheat. In my life, there are weeds growing with the wheat. Some of the Christians that you know, it's hard to find the wheat. But there are others, you can see that it's mostly wheat and very few weeds. Nevertheless, a memorial service like this is a time to give thanks for the wheat that grew in Gord's life. And it's time to recognize that in the past, there were probably things that Gord did that disappointed you or that hurt you. But a memorial service is a good time to forgive. It's a good time to say, Gord, I forgive you. He was a precious man, but he wasn't perfect. And what I know of Gord is that if it were possible for him to put right any harm that he's brought to anyone, he would say, please forgive me. And this is your opportunity. If you've been disappointed in a Christian, if you've been disappointed in Gord, that you could say, I forgive you. Because the kingdom of God is going to have weeds in it, whether it's the corporate expression or whether it's the individual life. There are always going to be weeds in the field until Jesus sends the angels and takes out all the weeds and then gathers the harvest. So may this day be a time to you of remembering all of the wheat in Gord's life and forgiving any of the shortcomings so that you can go and say, Jesus, when you said to forgive, I agree. And as you do that, you will discover another step in your own following of Jesus. Lord Jesus, we ask you now that whatever word that you're speaking to us, that the answer in our hearts would be, Jesus, I agree. Jesus, I agree. May the grace of our God come through Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you today and forever. Amen.
So we're coming to the end of our time together, and it has been just a sweet time of having our hearts and our thoughts watered with such beautiful memories, and but also the most importantly, the gospel. And so I want to just mention two things about our website, and the one is that if you do not have a New Testament or you don't own a Bible, you can go to wocc.ca and we will make sure that one of the Gideon Bibles is, we'll either put a Gideon in charge. I don't know what I'm allowed to say here. We will make sure that you get a Bible. That's what I want to say. Gord would want that he would want you not to be without the Word of God. So wocc.ca, and we'll make sure that you get a Bible. And then also, If you're not prepared to give this morning, but you want to sow into this young missionary couple in Hong Kong, then you can do that by going online as well. I want us just to conclude this. I'm going to pray, and then the worship team is going to send us out with song. So we're just going to be dismissed after this prayer. But formally, we can. The worship team has a song they're going to sing over us, and we can join in the song with them. But I want us all to pray. You know that we're all just one prayer away from a miracle. You know, and the greatest miracle of all is the miracle of salvation. And Ken brought us just a wonderful invitation and reminder of that. But it has to, you know, there's got to be an action on our part. There has to be a prayer, a calling out to God. And I'm noticing in this day that when people take that action, when they make that action and they pray, that God is more than willing to hear that prayer and to respond. So please pray. Please take what you've heard today and don't leave without carrying a prayer with you.
The Bible says that the God of peace,
who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, he will equip you with everything good for doing his will. And he'll work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Now join me in prayer for the family and just begin to pray. Okay, let's just each and everyone in our cars where we are, let's just begin to pray together. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Lord, we want to just thank you for this time, Lord. We want to thank you for the fragrance of heaven, Lord, that's upon us in this gathering as we've celebrated and as we've remembered our dear brother Gordon, Lord, and we've celebrated his entrance into your kingdom, Lord, and his abiding with you now in heaven, Lord. But Lord, he would have us, all of us pray, Lord. So I pray for every family member and every visitor and every member of West Ottawa, Lord. I pray that we would pray, that Lord, we would respond, that our hearts would be responsive to you and to your invitation to come. Lord, we want to come and we want to respond. We want to be a responding people. And then, Lord, I know that you'll hear these prayers. And we pray for one another. We pray for the family. We pray that Lord, there would be a great harvest, Lord, a great harvest in this time, Lord, and that you would harvest all of us for your purposes, Lord, in this hour, Lord, I pray. Holy Spirit, continue to work in our lives, Lord, both by day and by night. Continue to draw us all after you, that we might run together with you, Lord Jesus, in your purposes in this time and in this hour. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So glad that everybody came, everyone on Zoom that's participated today. Thank you for being part of this. And thank you, all of you that have driven here today and to just... delight in our memories and to honor dear Gordon and to honor the great family that he has. Viola, we love you, and we are so thankful. All of the family, thank you so much for letting us share in Gord's life and be a part of this.